بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسنة المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن مغيرة البردزبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب كسب الرجل وعمله بيده وبه قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن عبد الله قال حدثني ابن وهب عن يونس عن ابن شهاب قال حدثني عروة بن زبير أن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها وأنهم أجمعين قالت لما استخلف أبو بكر الصديق قال لقد علم قومي أن حرفتي لم تكن تعجز عن مؤونة أهلي وشغلت بأمر المسلمين فسيأكل آل أبي بكر من هذا المال ويحترف للمسلمين فيه. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Tarjumatul Bab, the subject matter for today is a person working and earning his own income. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi will present 5 hadiths to expound on the importance of a person earning his own income and a person working for himself. As an introduction, I wish to present few important points. In terms of financial issues, there are 2 phases in a person's life. One as a minor and the other as an adult. When a person is a minor, there are no responsibilities in his life. His father or whoever may be the guardian of that individual, he will be responsible for the food of that individual, the clothing of that individual, the shelter of that individual, medication of that individual, and education of that individual. A minor has no financial obligation on him whatsoever. Even to the extent that if a minor has wealth, there are no shar'i obligations on him. If he's got wealth, his wealth is exempt from zakat. He does not have to give zakat. When Eid al-Adha comes, the day of Qurbani comes, 10th, 11th, 12th of Zilhajj, and if he's got wealth equivalent to the nisab or more than that, even in that situation, he's exempt from Qurbani. The father, or whoever is the guardian of that minor, it will be his responsibility to deposit or to secure the wealth of the minor in the best interest of the minor. If a person is an adult, he is responsible for every expense of his in his life. He is responsible for his own food. He is responsible for his own clothing. He is responsible for his own shelter, own education, own medication. It is not the father's responsibility And being an adult, there wouldn't be a guardian because he himself will be the guardian for his own self. He will have to take care of all his affairs. Now according to Shariat, a person will become an adult when he experiences a wet dream or what we would say nocturnal emission. He becomes baligh. He becomes physically mature. And in the case of a female, she will become an adult when she attains puberty. And if by the age of 15, whether it's a male or whether it's a female, if the male did not experience nocturnal emission or wet dream before the age of 15, and in the case of the female, if she did not experience puberty before the age of 15, Shariat would declare the person to be an adult by the age of 15. So whether it's a male, whether it's a female, by the age of 15, the person will already be declared to be an adult. And now it is the responsibility of the adult to take care of himself. Yes, in the case of a female, it is a father's responsibility to take care of her until she is married. Now Shariat encourages a person that as the person grows up, he's an adult, there is a biological change. There is a chemical change in him in which is an attraction to the opposite gender. A male is attracted to a female, female is attracted to a male. And now by human nature, the person needs to get married. But marriage itself doesn't come free. There are great financial responsibilities in a marriage. In the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about those women that are prohibited in marriage. And after that, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ. Besides those women that are prohibited, other women are permissible. But أَن تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ. You have to seek them with your wealth. You have to give mihr to the woman. So you can't just get married to a person free of charge. Second, when a person becomes a father, he becomes a husband, he has to maintain his wife. You have to provide food for her. You have to provide shelter for her. You have to provide clothing for her. And this also referred to in the Quran Kareem. Allah says in the Quran Kareem, أَسْكِنُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ سَكَنْتُمْ مِنْ وُجْدِكُمْ وَلَا تُضَارُّوهُنَّ لِتُضَيِّقُوا عَلَيْهِنْ. You should shelter the woman wherever you reside. And don't make things difficult upon themselves. That is, fulfill the needs and the requirements of a wife. Yes, of course, these financial obligations are according to a person's financial ability. عَلَى الْمُوسِي قَدَرُهُ عَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدَرُهُ. When a person becomes a father, he goes on in life, then there's another responsibility. He has to take care of his child. وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The person for whom the child is born, that is the father, he has to maintain the child. He has to clothe the child. Again, there's a financial responsibility on the individual. And not only that, if there's a close family relative, blood relative, who is going to find a financial crisis, or the person is disabled, the family member is disabled, it is the responsibility of this person to even contribute to that. And this also alluded to in the Quran Kareem, وَعَلَى الْوَارِثِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ. Should that person pass away, and this person would inherit, to what extent he would inherit in his lifetime, he also need to contribute to that person as well. Now from all this we understand that there are financial responsibilities on the individual. Shariat has placed financial responsibilities on the individual. And that is why Shariat encourages a person to create in him a financial ability. He must create in him the ability to earn the money. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, Ya ma'ashara shabab, man istata'a minkumul ba'ata falyatazawwaj. O group of youngsters, those of you who have the ability to get married, and among other abilities, responsibility, financial responsibility. If you got the financial responsibility to get married, do get married. From this hadith, we understand Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is referring to creating a financial ability in you. In one hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طلب كسب الحلال فريضة بعد الفريضة. From the academic point of view, There may be discussion on the authenticity of this hadith. But as far as the meaning of this hadith is, it is beyond any question. One is to earn halal income. And one is the responsibility of earning an income. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, to earn an income, it is also an obligation after other obligation. Salat is compulsory, zakat is compulsory on the rich and wealthy, hajj is compulsory on the rich and wealthy, but for an individual to earn income, that is also an obligation. We understand there are three types of worships, three types of ibadats in the Shariat. One is the physical worship. For example, you're performing a salat, you're exerting yourself physically. You're standing, you're going into ruku, you're going into sajda. You're exerting yourself physically. One is a financial responsibility. You're rich and wealthy, you have to give zakat and develop the poor and the needy. And the third is a combination of them two, where it's a physical ibadat and a monetary ibadat, like in the case of hajj. Now many people think that physical worship, monetary worship, and a combination of the two, they are confined to these worships. Whereas earning our income and contributing to our responsibility is also falls within these three categories of worship. When a person leaves home in the morning, he exerts himself, he goes to his shop, or wherever he is working, morning to evening is working, exerting himself. That too, like salat is a physical worship, this working is also a physical worship. It's an act of ibadat. And if a person is a father, so just as giving zakat is a monetary worship, a father earns money and he contributes towards his children, that is also a monetary worship, like in the case of zakat. And in the case of the wife, the husband, he has to fulfill a physical need of the wife, monetary need of the wife, like in the case of hajj, fulfilling the needs of the wife, physical need, and the monetary need, that is also an act of ibadah, just like the combination of both these worships in the case of hajj. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made us with dignity and honor. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored the children of Adam, and it is part of our honor, it is part of our dignity, it is part of our respect, that we earn our own income. We should live of our own selves, not live of the next person. And this is a great sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam created this sense of responsibility in the Sahaba. That don't live of the next person, live of your own self, live a life of respect, dignity and honor. One Sahabi, he came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, came to beg. Nabi Sallam kept on helping him and assisting him until one day Nabi Kareem Sallam asked him, do you have anything at home? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I've got a bowl and I've got a mat. Part of the mat I place it on the ground and part of the mat I cover myself with it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, bring it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then auctioned it among the Sahaba. May yashtari hadha bidirham. Who will buy this for one dirham? One Sahabi mentioned, Ya Rasulullah, I'll buy it for one dirham. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, May Yazid Hada, that who will increase on this? Anybody to bid a higher price on this? But another Sahabi mentioned, that I will pay two dirhams. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam concluded the deal, and then he told the Sahabi, take one dirham, go buy an axe. One dirham, go buy food. And with that axe, go and do labor. Chop wood, sell it, earn an income, and I should not see you for 15 days. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged the Sahabi to go out, work, and earn his own income. This is a great sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One Sahabi, Hazrat Hakim ibn Hizam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the beginning stages, he was a very poor person, he was a beggar. He came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam assisted him. Second time, assisted him. Third time, assisted him. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised him, Ya Hakim, inna hadha al-mal hulwatun khadira. Oh Hakim, this wealth is green, it is lush. But if you attain this wealth with a desire from yourself, you're not going to get barakah. And if that wealth come to you without any hope, expectation, then there will be barakah in it. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told you one thing, al-yadul ulya خير من اليد السفلى. The upper hand is better than the lower hand. The upper hand refers to the giving hand. You give out. Giving out is better than the lower hand, than the hand that is receiving. And that is why it is mentioned, you give somebody fish, the person will eat it up. He'll come for you for another fish tomorrow. So instead of keep on giving him fish, give him a rod. Teach him how to earn a fish. Teach him how to catch his own fish, and he'll sustain his own self. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explored, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam unearthed hidden capabilities in a poor person, in a beggar, and made him independent, created dignity and honor in him. And there are many such beggars like that. There by Kandela Road, where we stay, very often the lights go off, and sometime in the mornings when I'm going towards Normania, I'm amazed. I see some young boys, very often I see them, they're always standing by the roadside. You probably have to give them 5 rand, 10 rand, 20 rand. But when the lights go off, it's amazing where you see them, how they're controlling the traffic. There's those people that they will suffice on 5 rand, 10 rand, 20 rand, whatever the case may be, from the morning to the evening. But when the lights are off, in such an articulate way, they control the traffic. And you just see, he's standing, just put his hand out there like that, and behind him, he probably haven't got 5 rand in his pocket, but he's controlling about a long stream of cars, worth 20 cars, 30 cars, worth millions of rand, and look at the capability in that person. Why do such people need to beg? They have the ability, they have the capability to earn. So this is the ability we should try to inculcate within individuals. Let us look at some of the hadiths of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, لَمَّا اسْتُخْلِفَ أَبُو بَكَرْ صِدِّيقٍ. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was made the Khalifa after the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was a businessman. He used to earn. As great as he was, he used to go out, he used to earn his income. قال لَقَدْ عَلِمَ قَوْمِ أَنَّ حِرْفَتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْجِزُ أَنْ مَؤُونَةِ أَهْلِي. He said to the people, now that I've become the Khalifa, I've become the leader of the Muslimin, my people know that my business was not helpless in fulfilling the needs of my family. I was doing business, my business fulfilled the need of my family, everybody knows that, but now, shughiltu bi amri al-Muslimin. I'm being engaged in the matter of the Muslimin. Now I can't do business. If I'm going to do business, I'm going to fulfill the affairs of the Muslimin. Now, فَسَيَأْكُلُ آلُ أَبِي بَكَرْ مِنْ هَذَا الْمَالِ. The family of Abu Bakr will eat from this mal, that is the Baytul Mal, the treasury of the Muslimin, وَيَحْتَرِفُ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فِيهِ, and he will work for the Muslims in that. The purpose of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah presenting this narration is to show that see, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala used to work. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala used to earn his own income. The second narration, قالت عائشة كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عمال أنفسهم فكان يكون لهم أرواح فقيل لهم لو اختصلتم. هذا عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها says that the companions of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do labor by themselves. Hard labor they used to do. In the hot sun they used to work, they used to carry wood, whatever was the nature of the work, they used to get very, very tired and they used to sweat. When Jummah time used to come, then the masjid was small, there was no fan, there was no outlet, and a bad odor used to come out from the bodies. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised them, it will be good at least on a Friday that you make ghusl. Making ghusl in the beginning stage of Islam for a Friday was compulsory. Later on, when Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed the Sahaba with more wealth, Masjid Nabawi was expanded, and the people were not inconvenienced with each other in a masjid. Now, making ghusl on a Friday was abrogated. Yes, it is. It's still advisable, but it was not compulsory like in the beginning stage of Islam. But Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi present this narration to show it was the general norm of the Sahaba that they used to work. They were the one, they would live a life of respect, dignity and honor, and they would go and earn their own income. Third narration. An Khalid ibn Ma'dan an al-Miqdam an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal ma akala ahadun ta'aman qattu khayran min an ya'kula min amal yadi wa anna Nabi Allah Dawud kana ya'kulu min amal yadi. The The translation of the riwayat is, Miqdam radiallahu ta'ala says, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no person ate any food ever better than that what the person ate from the work of his hand. Own, he works for himself, he earns his own the money, and he exerts himself. And by way of example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the Nabi of Allah, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, he is to eat from the labor of his own hands. And Allah refers to this in the Quran al-Kareem, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ صَنْعَةَ لَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave him a skill where he was able to take steel, the steel would melt in his hand, and he would make armors through that, and he would sell it. He would manufacture armors, he would sell it, earn his income through that. Once again, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says that a person working, earning his own income is also the sunnat of the Anbiya. The fourth hadith, عن حمام بن منبه قال حدثنا أبو هريرة عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن داود النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا يأكل إلا من عمل يدي. Similar riwayat to the previous one, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam would not eat but from the labor of his own hands. And the narration after that, عن أبو عبيد مولى عبد الرحمن بن عوف أنه سمع أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه وأنهم يقول قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن يحتقب أحدكم حزمة على ظهره خير له من أن يسأل أحد فيعطيه أو يمنعه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says that one of you carrying a bundle of wood, one of you carrying a bundle of wood on his back, doing hard labor, that is better than the person goes and begs before people. And he then subjects himself to the next person where the person to whom he asks, that person may give him something or the person may refuse him. Then you are subjecting yourself to disgrace, to humiliation, and you take away your own dignity and honor. Rather, you carry a bundle of wood and go and sell it and earn your own income with respect, dignity and honor. And the last hadith, it's an amazing hadith of Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We first do the translation of the hadith, but there's a great lesson to learn from the life history of Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu in terms of working and earning your own income. Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ لَإِنْ يَأْخُذَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَحَبُلَهُ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ يَسَلَ النَّاسِ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of you would take a string, his robe. That is better for him. Take the robe to collect wood, tie it up and go and sell it to people, or carrying it on his back. That is better than him going and asking people and begging before people. Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great amazing sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the husband of Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha is the sister of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she speaks about the early days of Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anha, saying that tazawwajani az-Zubair wa ma lahu fil ardi min malin غَيْرَ نَازِحْ وَغَيْرَ نَازِنْ وَغَيْرَ فَرَسِهِ. Say that Zubair radiallahu ta'ala got married to me, he had no wealth whatsoever. With the exception of one camel and with the exception of a horse. And in fact, the narration is mentioned that Asma radiallahu ta'ala, she herself used to go to the farm, she would carry a load on her head and she would return home with that. That was in the beginning stages of their life. Life carried on. Until a time came in the life of Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he took part in the battle of Jamal. It was a war that took place between Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Zubair ibn Awam, he told to his son, Abdullah ibn Zubair, Inni la'arani al-yawm maqtulan. I see myself to being killed today. Wa inna ahamma amri ladaini. The greatest fikr, the greater responsibility I have is a debt upon me.
Now Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in spite of him being very, very poor, people had a lot of trust in him. Outstanding quality in him was his amanatdari, was his trust in him. So people used to come and place their trust in his hands, but Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu adopted one attitude. He would tell the people, La lakin huwa salaf. I'm not going to take this money as an amanat. You want to keep your money by me? I rather take it as a loan. And there's a benefit in that. If somebody's amanat trusted by you, you have to look after it, you are restricted. You can't use it. Yes, the person may allow you, but then if that gets lost, then you're not going to be responsible. So that may be against the interest of the individual that entrusted the money to you. So to have a dual interest, it is better that the person rather give it to you as a loan, where you would be free to use the money as you want to. And when the person wants the money back, then you pay him the money back. So in both ways, there's an equal responsibility. Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, lots of people entrusted monies by him. And the example is given by a contemporary fuqaha of a conventional bank of the past with the example of Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had lots and lots of money. So many people think there's no example of conventional banks, no example of banks in the past, but the personality of Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala itself serves to be like a bank of the past, and many the lessons of a bank are taken out from the life of Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala. Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala told to his son, my biggest worry is my paying my debt out. And then he said, that if I look at my wealth, I don't think my wealth will suffice to pay my debt out. He told Abdullah ibn Zubair, وَإِنْ عَجَزْتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِهِ مَوْلَايِ. If you are helpless, if you liquidate my wealth and the money is not sufficient to pay the debt out, then you must seek assistance from my master. So Abdullah ibn Zubair says, that I thought to myself that who could be the master of my father? I don't know my father to be a slave of anyone. So who could be the master of my father? So I asked my father, Man Mawlak, who's your master? So Zubair ibn Awam mentioned, my master is Allah. So whenever you need to pay my debt out, seek assistance from Allah to pay my debt out. Zubair ibn Awam passed away. Now, in his estate, he had one property known as Ghaba. It was in Sham, in Syria. 11 houses he had in Madinatul Munawwara. 2 houses he had in Makkatul Mukarrama. 1 house he had in Egypt. Hakim ibn Hizam told to Zubair ibn Awam, what did your father's, my brother, referring to my brother, Hakim ibn Hizam referred to Zubair ibn Awam, asking Abdullah ibn Zubair, that my brother, what is his debt? So Abdullah ibn Zubair felt ashamed to tell Hakim ibn Hizam his father's debt. He said, if I would tell you if it is 1 million gold coins, what would you say? Hakim ibn Hizam said, I don't think your father's wealth would be able to pay the debt out. So Zubair ibn Awam told him, and if I tell you my father's debt is 2,200,000, what would you say? He said, impossible. He'll never pay the debt out. Abdullah ibn Zubair says, I follow the advice of my father. And I said, Ya Mawla Zubair Unsurni. O Master of Zubair, referring to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, help me to pay the debt of my father. Abdullah ibn Zubair says, I took one property, that which was in Sham, the property of Ghaba. And I sold many shares, I made them into many, many shares, and I sold them to various people. 2/3 of the wealth was paid out. The debt was paid out. And then, I took one of the properties, all sold it and paid the entire debt out. And after paying all the debt out, I waited for 4 years in case there's any person claiming debt from my father's estate. Now my father, he had 18 children. 9 sons, 9 daughters, and 4 wives. The estate of my father was, 50,200,000 gold coins. 50,200,000 gold coins. Bear in mind what I told you about Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the beginning stage of his, he had no wealth whatsoever. So I have done some calculations just to open up, to provoke our minds to the amount of wealth Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu had.
50,200,000 gold coins, dinars. 1 dinar is 4.4 grams. You take 50,200,000 and you multiply it by 4 by 4. So it comes to 220,880,000 grams of gold. 1 gram of gold, according to goldprizeoz.com, according to today's amount, is $42.08. So you take 200,880,000 grams, and you multiply it by 42.8 cents, it comes to 9,450,664,000. That was the wealth of Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And if then you have to work it out in rand, in today's amount, today's rand amount was almost about 313 something. So it comes to, in terms of rand, 128 billion rands, 475,293,760. This was the wealth of Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The richest family in South Africa, the Rupert family, will stand no patch to this. Bill Gates, his wealth comes to about $79 billion. Yes, of course, this is about 9 billion, but take into consideration the inflation rate of 1400 years. Where will the wealth, Bill Gates' wealth be compared to the wealth of Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala? So much Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala. But there was a time in his life he had no wealth whatsoever from where to where Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave. This was because they worked for the wealth. And there's no limitation, no restriction in Sharia. As long as you earn halal income, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives the barakat, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives the blessings in that. Earning an income is our pride. Earning our income, it is our dignity and it is our honor. Sometimes people have an attitude problem. Some of them would go to college, some of them would go to university, and due to the economic state of various countries, especially in the Western world, very often educated people are retrenched. And then they remain on government grant, waiting for another suitable employment to take place. Now, why do we have to wait and rely on government grant? And why do we have to wait for somebody to give us something? If you are if you qualify as a doctor, you qualify as a lawyer, you qualify as an engineer, you have no income, you can't serve, you got no employment, look for some, whatever you can do, do it. Earn your own income. Live a life of respect, live a life of dignity and honor. And the most important thing is the attitude, the mindset of the individual. If your mindset is that I want to earn and I want to live a life of respect, dignity and honor, I want to have an upper hand, then you will work, you will earn an income. But if you have an attitude that now that I can't work, people will have to feed me, then you want to remain the lower hand, that it is the attitude that is going to create a problem for you and you'll be robbed of respect, your dignity and honor. And therefore, it is very, very important that you should say to yourself, I can earn. And if you say, I can't earn, then you're not going to earn. Our respect, our honor, our dignity lies in this. And from all these ahadiths, once again, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi refers, Babu kasbir rajul wa amali biyadi, that a person working and a person earning his own income, this was the norm of the Sahaba, and this was something that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged in the Sahaba. Once again, we should understand and respect and remind ourselves all the time. On the day of Qiyamah, from the 5 questions that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will be questioning us, one will be, min aina iktasabta al-mal, aina anfaqta. Where did you earn your money from and where did you spend it? The fact that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is going to question you where you earn your money from this we understand we should be earning our money and we should be living a life of respect, dignity and honor. May Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on these ahadiths of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah grant us barakah in our earnings and may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us respect, dignity and honor in our lives. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu.